Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Wait. Are you gaming? On a Chromebook?
Yep. It's got a high-res 120Hz display, plus this killer RGB keyboard. And I can access thousands of games anytime, anywhere.
Stop playing.
What?
Get out of here.
Huh?
Yeah, I want you to stop playing and get out of here so I can game on that Chromebook.
Got it.
Go ahead, break it down, real Discover the ultimate cloud gaming machine, a new kind of Chromebook.
Coming up on TMS, the geometry of pizza.
Snuffleupagus, the stinkiest Muppet.
Dale Earnhardt made me do it.
I don't lick steam.
Number 11 may kill you.
Bisected pizza.
Sesame secretions.
Beef at the buffet.
Vax your ass and wear your mask.
A Rocky's bubble sandwich.
A weak Wednesday.
Earth cookies.
It's his heat vapor.
Hello, Batman Fresh.
Musicals took a dump.
Major spoilers and more on this episode of The Morning Stream.
Ragu introduces Chicken Tonight Simmer Sauces, and suddenly everybody's saying,
I feel like chicken tonight.
That's what makes it so popular.
A great pair of nerd glasses in about an hour. This is The Morning Stream.
Good morning. Welcome back to The Morning Stream for Monday, February 7, 2022. I'm Scott Johnson. He's Brian Ibbett. Hi, Brian. Welcome back.
Hi. Hello.
Hi. So Brian's got a very low voice and 85% right. Cold reduction. feeling good.
Well, 85% health inclusion. What is the
Oh, yeah. How do we do it? The math gets yeah. reversed. I don't know what you call it. But
that's right. Yes, exactly.
Yeah. Feeling better, though, yeah?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. Feeling better sound. I don't sound as good as I feel. How's
yeah.
that?
Yeah, there you go. That's good. It's okay to sound bad as long as you actually feel bad good on the inside.
That's right, exactly.
So not COVID, though. You did the second test. Everything's clear.
Two tests using the on-go penile erection supplement boxes that you and I both purchased from yep. GetRoman.com.
Yep.
And right now we have a stockpile because we did the free ones from the post office and the free ones from the United States government. So currently we have 8 COVID tests in our house in case we need them, which
that's
at
good.
Some point I'm sure we will.
Yeah, you may as well have them. You got to, you know, if you travel anywhere or do anything. When you guys go to Vegas, yeah, you probably have to do that before you leave.
Did one Wednesday morning and one Friday morning. Both of them came out negative, and so... No COVID.
No
for me.
COVID. We had a similar deal here at the house where Nick, his girlfriend, Taylor, and Dylan all had either exposure or some kind of illness, and they all had to do multiple tests. And we also dodged a bullet. So, you know, still the circle closes, yet somehow we don't have it. Good job.
Yeah, we're 4 of us in this little bubble, tiny bubble.
Living in a little bubble out in the west on each side of the Rockies, not getting sick. Right. Well, you got sick, but not that kind of sick.
Just not the bad sick.
I feel like you kind of got what I had in whatever that was, November or whenever I was super sick. I think you got that some version of that piece of crap. That was the worst.
Oh, it sucks because it's lasting a stupid long time.
Well,
it's almost, it'll be a week Wednesday. No, week tomorrow?
Tomorrow. No.
No, week Wednesday.
Week Wednesday. Yeah. That's what I always call my Wednesdays. Week Wednesdays.
A week Wednesday.
Yeah. Welcome to week Wednesdays.
It's a weekday.
All right. We got a lot to get into. I want to throw a thanks out to Runtfish. listener who sent this thing in. I just like these sorts of things. I like infographics.
Can I click this?
Or no test
this
here.
Isn't like a quiz or anything. Okay,
no, good. Some of this may surprise you. Some of this may surprise you. Click here to find out.
Number 11 may kill you.
So it's this, you know, we're film buffs. We like movies. We talk about them on the show all the time.
Look at that. Oh, that is so cool.
Yeah, it's pretty rad. So this is a film genre popularity deal. Let me put it up for the chat room to see.
the Western one is like, it feels so accurate.
Oh, yeah, totally, right? It bums me out a little bit. But it, basically, it's 1910 to 2021, essentially the entire run of film. Mm-hmm. Was there anything prior to that? We're talking silent era here as well, I assume.
Yeah.
So these are all talkies mostly. But anyway... So this says the graphic shows film genre popularity over time, represented as a percentage of all films released that year with the specified genre tags in IMDb. Each genre has a different axis range. So these lines show the popularity relative to other years, not necessarily relative to other genres. So these aren't like genre comparisons. It's just how did these things do over time? And the one that I thought was maybe the most interesting was documentary, because it starts in the... like with a little peak, actually, weirdly.
Yeah.
And then immediately start, and you can hover over this, by the way, and look at the year. So if you hover over the data point, it'll say in 1915, 3% of films were documentaries. And then it talks about the big five that were a big deal. And it does all the way through time here, 2% most of the time, 1% in the year 1937. We just had no documentaries then. But... look at this. Look at this now. Look at this. Look at this. Down here on the end, this is some kind of
crazy. Yeah, it just goes nuts.
Good Lord. Like, where documentaries, it's all we make now, it seems like. Horror is a similar deal. Lots of little spikes in it. I think musicals, boy, they really took a dump here in the modern era. I guess we still
get them, only a couple this year, or, you know, recently that.
Tick, Tick, Boom.
Tick, Tick, Boom, and
West Side
Hamilton.
Story.
Well, I guess Hamilton doesn't count as a film, even though they released it streaming. But yeah. In the Heights.
Yeah, In the Heights is another one. So there's, you know, we're kind of there again. Comedies, pretty even. A real spike in the year 1941 was the highest in hit film history. The highest number of percentage of films were comedy, which is crazy to me. But that one's a pretty good chunk. And then what was the other one that kind of surprised me? Was it not sci-fi? I expected that to be like that. Oh, war. War is interesting because war peaked, you guessed it, during the war. The Great World War II, and then kind of petered out. And then you get to the 50s and 60s and you get some Vietnam Korean War stuff, and then flat and it's nothing. Just kind of
crazy,
like,
yeah.
Yeah. Like this year, or 2021, let's see, 1% of films were about war. I'm trying to find one I would know. Can't find one. Don't know these names. Anyway, it's fascinating. I recommend checking it out. It's over at Tableau Public. Is the website, and this
boy,
thing.
Oh boy, and you're gonna have to search for it because we're not giving you this. This link is not one that we can read.
No, it's a nightmare
with any sort of usability.
I'll give it to the chat; they can have it.
There but you go.
The
it's
rest
so
of you.
Cool though. What a cool,
isn't that great?
A cool graph. Yeah.
Yeah, I love that. So I've been holding on to that for the show and forgot I had it, and then I went, "Oh yeah, well thank you, Runt Fish, for sending that in to me," and I forgot to put it up the other day. Actually, I guess I was going to do it Thursday, but you were gone, and so we didn't do it, and that's why I didn't do it. So now it makes sense. I keep forgetting we didn't have a show Thursday. We weren't here because Brian was sick. All right,
that's right. Yep, yep. So
if you're keeping track of all this stuff, now you know what's going on.
If you get you know, purchase the program on your way in, it'll help you keep track of all the players and who's on the injury list.
Yeah, and try to pay attention. Chat,
that's right.
Okay. All right. Hey, check this out. I have a friend. They got a pizza. All right. Not a big deal. Everybody gets a pizza.
All right. Everybody gets a pizza. We even had a pizza last week.
See? You had a pizza. Yeah.
Everybody gets a pizza. Pizzas are gotten by people all over the country.
And pizzas have never been hotter than they are now. I don't mean temperature, but I like, you know, everybody, you know, ordering in and getting the pizzas. They've had if you had stock in I don't know, Domino's, you're rich now. That's basically how things have gone. It's gone real well for the pizza industry. Just ask Papa John on his TikTok account. He'll tell you all about it. Anyway, a friend of mine gets a pizza, a whole pizza. And it's missing a slice. Brian, are you there?
Really? I'm sorry, yes.
You see you typing away and I couldn't tell.
I'm typing because I've got a client who ignores my message about, hey, I'm unavailable for the next couple hours. Please stop texting me.
Oh, so did you actually say that and he still text you?
She, yes.
She, well, she needs to get the hit.
She needs to, exactly. I'm sorry. I'm very sorry.
It's all good. I thought I'd lost you.
Unprofessional as a podcaster for me to.
I thought I'd lost you entirely. All right. So they get a pizza. All right. I don't know from who. Doesn't matter. It's probably.
Okay. No, it does matter because I think we want to know.
Okay. Well, it might matter.
I guess once we make our assessment of the situation here, then.
Yeah, we can determine whether this matters. It might. Let's just say for the sake of saying so, let's say it's, I don't know, we'll throw Domino's under the bus. They're doing fine.
We don't know who was.
We don't know.
Let's assume Domino's.
Yeah, we'll punch up on this one because they're not hurting. So anyway, they get a pizza. And this friend of mine gets a pizza and it's missing a slice. So there's like, I don't know, 10 slices and normally, and one is out and now there's only 9. And that's the form.
That is the question, right? Because sometimes if it's a smaller pizza in a bigger box, as the driver's driving it around, things will shift around and maybe those slices will kind of pull apart to make room in the space in the cardboard box.
Sure, sure.
So, but if it's an odd number, there's no way to do your cut across a pizza, not radius. What is
I see what you're saying. It's always going to be equal.
If you do edge to edge cuts, then you're never going to have an odd number of slices. Somebody's going to say, yes, you could if you cut it exactly this way, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, if you cut across the diameter, then you dissect there. Bisect. That's the word I was looking for.
Bisection. Possibly. There we go.
Yeah,
bisection. Look at that. That's awesome. All right. So
if you cut across edge to edge, you're going to always have an even number.
Yeah. So this one had an odd number and a clearly missing piece from the pie, almost like, you know, they were doing a chart in Excel and it was missing a chunk of data. Now,
And the chart is likelihood of ever visiting this pizza place again.
Exactly. That's how I would see it. That's how I would see it. So, so here's the question. You receive this pizza and it otherwise looks pristine and fine. The toppings you asked for are there. They're spread evenly. It's cooked nicely. Even the slices are cut evenly, just missing this one piece. Do you eat the pizza? Or do you go, I don't know. Someone's been in here. Probably the driver. I don't know. Like, weird you out and make you not want to eat it?
It weirds me out a little bit. It weirds me out a lot, right? Because, I mean, you know that either the driver helped himself to a slice or somebody at the restaurant helped himself to a slice. But you absolutely call them and say, you take a picture of it before you eat anything and say, this is how we received our pizza.
Yeah.
What's wrong with this picture?
Good point. Cause then you're one
highlights for children. What's wrong with this picture?
And you'll get, no matter what, you'll probably get like a free pizza coupon or something, right?
Yeah.
They'll try to do right with that. But I think I would be hesitant. I would feel like somebody tampered with my pizza. That's how I would feel.
Yeah, it's a tampering. It's a tampering that doesn't affect the rest of the slices, right?
Yeah, right.
I don't know. That's a tough one because, you know, it's like, all right, is it okay to eat the other 9 slices? Are they going to be fine? Is it
right?
They obviously had their hand in the box.
Mm-hmm. Did he touch any other parts of the thing? Did he have poopy hands?
Apart with his grubby, grubby, unwashed hands.
That's right. Does his nails have like poo under the nails? Like, we don't know.
You know what? I'd say I'm going to recant my, I'm going to retract my previous statement saying that, no, I think it's okay to eat the other 9 slices. I think I call the company and say, it's obvious that he got in there or that the driver got in there, had a slice, and I want a fresh pizza. This is
uncalled for, unacceptable. Yes. See, then I worry they're going to do something worse to the next pizza that comes to me. Because every time I have this in my head, because I worked at a Chi Chi's and I witnessed a lot of food tampering. When customers were mad and sent something back, I would watch people in that kitchen do horrifying things to people's food.
Sure.
I was like 16, so give me a break about, you know, whatever.
Yeah, but I think in this case, the manager is going to be like, oh my God, yeah, they're totally right. I mean, this is uncool. This driver should be fired.
Will they know?
Because reprimanded.
Because what would happen at the Chi-Chi's, they'd say, my steak is, I wanted it well done and it's too red. And it would come back and the grill guy would spit on it and cook it more and then send it back to that guy.
Because there's no proof that it was spit on. A missing slice is absolutely proof. There's no...
Yeah, that's
true. There's no like, oh yeah, an accidental pubic hair got into your salad, sir. Sorry about that.
Yeah, but what's to stop the guy making the pizza who heard he had to remake this pizza? What's to stop him from like horking a goober in there? You know what I mean? While he's cooking it.
Nothing, but it's not like... It's not like he's at fault. So he doesn't have any reason to be vindictive.
Got it. So he's the cook guy.
The manager is going to be, you know, is apologetic. The driver, as long as that driver doesn't get the new pizza and have to drive back out there and lose his job.
Well,
driver, if you know, all right, Bill, you're going to be fired at the end of the night. But by the way, can you take this replacement pizza to the people who just called you and got you fired?
We don't want that guy to ever deliver that pizza again. That's a good point. You're right. Yeah. When we're separated by a driver,
we're separated by the driver who's the missing link.
All right. Well, I will find out I didn't find out, but I want to find out for my friend if they ate it or not. I know we called them, but I don't know if they ate it. So I'll have to find out. Brian Dunaway said the most Brian Dunaway thing ever in the chat. He always, this is him to a T. He says, I eat the slices. The driver was hungry, poor guy. He always.
And then he says, don't fire them. The driver is already at the bottom rung of employment. And deservedly so, apparently. if there was any, if there was ever any demonstration of the Peter principle.
He
is at his level of incompetence right now as a delivery driver, and he is not going to progress any further.
I wish he would. I wish he would, you know, would be a better driver. But I also appreciate. Mm-hmm. I appreciate Dunaway's sunny disposition toward others.
It's funny because usually that's me, right? Usually I'm the I'm doing it, James. All of a sudden, it's okay. It's all good. You know, it's let the driver have a slice. You know, he's working hard. You know, it's okay.
You guys, I know some of you know James. I know some of you know him. And you know how good that is because you know James. But if you don't know, you have no idea how good an impression that is. They just don't know, Brian.
It's fine.
I can't force them into knowing. It's just impossible without knowing James. It's amazing.
You know how they could find out is they could come to TMS Vegas.
Hey.
Details at the end of today's episode.
Yeah, that's good. That's great. We do have some more details about what's going on, so stay tuned for that. In the meantime, speaking of Brian Dunaway and his sunny disposition, we're going to add him to this call.
Well, let's get that in person, that sunny disposition.
Yeah, why the hell not, I say. So we're going to do that and do this. Hey, look who it is joining us for today's edition of some sort of Babel Royale. It's Brian Dunaway. Hi, Brian.
Oh, hi, Scott and Brian.
Oh, you're so nice to the drivers. Look at how nice you are to the drivers.
Oh,
dude,
come on. Pizza's community food. I expect whenever I eat pizza.
He's not part of my community.
But, dude, I mean, when you were in college, I mean, you know, people always popping in and eating pizza, sticking their grubby hand. You just take your chances, man. It's like bar pretzels. It's just what it is.
You know,
now,
that's
if
a
you
fair
eat my
point.
Macaroni and cheese, we might have a problem. That's a personal food.
If you're talking about bar nuts and pretzels and things like that, that's a fairly decent point. I think I might agree with you on that. But I don't know. Right. Just, you know, if you get it,
I had a friend. I've had several friends who worked pizza delivery, and I did have a friend who was a larger fellow, always got picked on for being larger, had an eating problem, and he did get fired for taking a slice. And I love this guy. And so it's really easy for me to take his side. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it's
It's like Kermit. Not Kermit, sorry. Bert and Ernie. Do you remember the time where Bert had a whole plate of cookies? And he says, "Don't eat these, Ernie. Ernie, don't eat these, Ernie." And he left the room. And then Ernie slowly picked away the cookies and then was like, "Oh, shoot. Now it's uneven. I got to eat around this other edge. Oh, no. Now it looks wrong. Yeah. So I'll just eat that cookie and move." I mean, by the time he was done, he ate all the cookies. And I guess the lesson there, what was the lesson? What were they teaching us? That Ernie's a dick?
Kind of
math?
Kind of
subtraction?
Right.
Just a little bit.
With food.
Hey, at least it's more cookie than he would have had if Cookie Monster was over. At least there's that. Well, that's not true. Cookie Monster never really ate a cookie. He just chomps them up and throws them
everywhere. Right. He basically crumbled them up on his face and dropped them all over the puppeteer.
Yeah, he never really did. You're right. He never ingested a cookie as far as I know. It all went everywhere.
You got to wonder, like, the puppeteer, whoever is underneath Cookie Monster, is like picking cookie pieces out of his pants and his shirt for days.
Oh, you know how bad.
I like to think he's down there with his mouth open.
You know what, though? Like, think about this. Like, which puppets stink when they're in storage? It's got to be the Cookie Monster because it gets enough, like, little flecks of basically.
Yeah, but they're crumbs. And they're baked
food.
They're baked cookies. Those don't, like, rot and stink.
Really?
As quickly as if it was, like, oh, the sandwich meat monster.
Sandwich meat monster.
Yeah, but of all of those.
Soft cheese monster.
It's probably Big Bird or any of those things where you had to fit a whole person inside. Those are the stinky ones.
Snuffleupagus clearly is the stinkiest Muppet.
Yeah.
Because that has two people stinking it up.
Yeah, that's true. And I always felt like.
Oh, Bird.
I always felt like.
Bird.
I felt like Grover stunk.
His first name was? Is it Aloysius Snuffleupagus or something like that?
Oh, my Lord. I don't remember.
Yeah, that was. They went on forever not telling you your first name. That was like a whole mystery. It was awesome.
Yeah. Cosmo.
By the way,
Cosmo Snuffleupagus.
Right. David Rudman was the puppeteer for the Cookie Monster.
Oh, really? David Rudman?
Yeah. Right, he do the voice,
Rudman,
too?
Rudman. He did puppeteering and also the voice work.
Wow. Well, for some reason, I thought that was, what's his name? Miss Piggy.
He did it too. So yeah, okay. But the primary on the Sesame Screets.
Screets. Yeah.
Sesame Screets.
I like Sesame Screets. Well, all right then. That's fantastic news and trivia. Now let's move on to a real game. Hey, Brian, you're introducing something new today. So
I am.
Me and Dunaway are ready to hear it. Here, go for it.
Welcome to the Morning Half-Asses, name in progress, a trivia game where I'm actually going to be giving you the answers. I'm going to be giving Scott and Brian a category and six possible answers, three of which are correct and three that are incorrect. Depending on how confident they feel with the category, they can provide one, two, or three guesses, but if they get any of those guesses wrong, they get 0 points for that round. If they guess one and get it right, they get a point. If they guess two and get them both right, they get a bonus point, so they get 3 points total. And if they guess all three correct answers and they get them all right, they win 2 bonus points plus their three, so a total of 5 points for that
round. I appreciate your great overview, but you know I'm dumb and the only way I can learn a game is to play it. So let's get started.
I like listening to I'm sure all the people are like, what, 5-3? What? Yeah, let's go back to the cookies.
We'll figure it out.
The player with the most points after three rounds wins the prize for their contestant. And like the Morning Squirm, we're pulling them from members of the Tadpool that aren't able to listen live. Scott, you're going to be playing for Heather, also known as Nacho Mama from Fort Francis, Ontario.
Nachos. Sounds
Nacho
good.
Mama. Mm-hmm. Brian, you're going to be playing for Dan Erickson from Minnesota.
Yeah.
And
Minnesota.
Yeah.
And our prizes today are Turnip Boy Commits Tax Evasion.
That's still a great game.
Yep.
Simple Rockets 2. And BPM, Bullets Per Minute.
Ooh, Bullets Per Minute's really
BPM's
good.
Really awesome.
Yeah, that's just a shoot everything game. It's fantastic. It's really
ooh, how fitting. A shoot 'em ups.
Yeah, shoot 'em ups.
All right, so let's get into it. You don't even need to have hands on your buzzers. I'll explain how this works as we get into it. Let's get to question number one.
Okay. So, where Brian, you should see a bunch of answers.
There it is.
I see some things on my screen now. It says
number one.
Number
one.
Okay. Hold on. I want the chat to see this. Hold on. I screwed up. The way this views is weird.
No, they can't see mine. They can only see Scott's, right?
See Scott's, exactly.
Okay.
Yep.
Mine's different than Scott's, right?
You should have a title and six possible answers, correct?
Okay. No, correct.
Okay.
Good. All right. I think I have it so it works. Go ahead.
Category one is Tom Clancy novels, and your choices are
good. Mm-hmm. All right.
The Cobra, The Bear and the Dragon, The Dogs of War, Every Man a Tiger, Red Rabbit, and The Day of the Jackal. So all animals.
Red Rabbit.
Tom Clancy novels. So secretly or quietly, or you can talk, but you probably don't want to give any answers away. You guys will select one, two, or three of those answers.
Three of those are correct,
and three of those are lies. Three of those are not.
Okay. Okay. So we got three truths and three lies. Okay.
Mm-hmm. I'm gonna choose.
Oh, I clicked and it turned red. That's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. And what's cool is I can see your guesses as you're making them. Remember, if you get any wrong, you get 0 points for the round. So you can do, if you only feel confident about one, you could do
Oh,
one.
So there's some information I would have helped. I was picking three, so I only guess the ones that I'm positive about.
I told you,
I don't listen. What's your point?
All right, I only know two, the more points you get.
So if you only feel confident about one, then do one. If you feel confident about two of them, you have to pick at least one, Brian.
Yeah.
Okay.
So pick one. All right, I've locked in my answers.
Settle down, Claire, all caps, Claire.
What's she doing?
You said a lot at the beginning, Brian.
Yeah, Claire, that's right. You tell him.
All right, I'm locking in my answers. All right.
Okay, Scott's locked in. Brian is still picking.
Still picking his butt.
I don't.
Okay, both of our players have locked their answers. Let's see. If I reveal, I want to be able to talk about what you've chosen first.
I'm an expert on Tom Clancy novels.
Nope. You are. Brian has picked Every Man a Tiger and The Dogs of War. Scott has picked The Cobra and Red Rabbit. So two each. Let's see what we got.
Oh, look at Scott.
Look at my perfect guess.
Each of you has picked a correct answer, and each of you has picked an incorrect answer.
No points.
See, I do listen.
Wait. How did I? Oh, the Cobra's wrong.
The Cobra's wrong, yeah. Red Rabbit is correct.
Yeah.
And Every Man a Tiger is correct. For clarification, I
almost didn't do Every Man a Tiger. Dadgummit.
How come it doesn't? It doesn't show the score change. Do you do that manually?
Because there was no score change.
I see. So it doesn't
get an answer right. Yeah. By the way, The Cobra was written by Frederick Forsyth, and The Dogs of War also. Actually, all three of the incorrect answers were written by Frederick Forsyth.
Oh, that's pretty smart, because that way, if I did happen to know Forsyth novels, that would have really helped a lot.
The only one I knew for sure that wasn't was Day of the Jackal. It was the only one I knew for sure.
Mm-hmm.
The rest of
these
could
have been. That's the one I wasn't sure about. I kept clicking on, like, that doesn't seem right. But yet, yeah. No.
Yes, but no. Yes, but no. Right.
Well, the good news is, it's funny. Bobby says, Scott and Brian's colors should be different. Looks confusing to see all the green and red. Oh, right, because right and wrong answers are also green and red. So, yeah, it should be blue and yellow for your guys' colors. That's a great suggestion,
but I also want to appreciate the person who did all the programming for this. Thank you for that.
Al Kebab, by the way, who's not able to listen live right now, is like, I hope everything goes well. He programmed all this based on my
description. You did a good job.
Yeah, no, this is really good. The only thing we'd say then is just, hey, don't let us be able to choose red and green as our character colors, and then we're good.
That's a good point. If I'd have chosen
purple at the beginning of this, I just do default, so I don't think about it. Mm-hmm. But purple, it wouldn't be a problem.
I didn't realize you guys got to choose your colors when you came.
Yeah,
we do.
So it's sort of our fault.
Exactly.
Just kidding. All right. Here we go. Let's get to question number two.
All right.
Things invented in the 1970s. Oh. And your choices are the Rubik's Cube, DNA fingerprinting, the digital camera, the pocket calculator, the radar gun, and the computer mouse. Please begin making your selections.
DNA fingerprinting.
Invented in the 1970s.
What the hell is DNA fingerprinting? That didn't happen. I'm not choosing.
Yeah, DNA fingerprinting, bruh.
They're separate things.
Bruh.
DNA, don't get me started. Let's see. So we can choose up to three, right? Or we can choose as many as we want, but there are only three that are correct.
Well, you can choose six, and you'll pretty much be guaranteed to lose.
But you definitely lose.
Up to three.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay. I'm locking in my two. I don't trust the rest of this.
I have a new try. I got something.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, you guys have locked in your answers. Scott is going with the pocket calculator and the radar gun. Brian is going with the computer mouse. Let's reveal our answers. You both, again, have picked the wrong answer. Radar gun was invented in 1954, believe it or not.
Geez. Okay.
Yeah, radar's been around forever.
Yeah.
The computer mouse was invented in 1963.
Yeah. I swear the pocket calculator was earlier than that.
Pocket calculator, 1971. Rubik's Cube, 1974. Digital camera, 1975. And DNA fingerprinting didn't come around until 1984.
So when was the computer mouse?
Computer mouse was 1963.
Yeah, which I thought was Xerox in the 80s. So what do I know? Either way, that would be wrong. So
right.
Okay, so I got one wrong and one right. So did he.
Yeah. Exactly.
So we did the exact same.
Brian only got one wrong.
Yeah,
so, because I only picked one because I thought, hey, less chance of losing if I feel confident about one.
Yep. Right now, because even if you get two right and one wrong, you get 0 points for the round. So there's one more round left. Hope you guys get at least 1 point.
All right. We'll see how it goes. I'm ready.
See how it goes. Question number three. Countries that have a three-color flag, red, white, and blue.
Ow!
All right.
In that order? This is not a trick question or something stupid.
No, it can be in any order, red, white, and blue. Your choices are Laos, the Philippines, the Czech Republic, Finland, Botswana, and Panama.
You're a Laos.
You're a Laos.
Oh, jeez.
Right. These all seem like they have red, white, and blue in them.
I'm locking it in.
You're locking it in already?
Yeah. There's only two I know of for sure. Don't give away how.
Oh, you know. How many?
I mean, there are three that are right, so I'm not giving away anything. I just only know two.
I don't know anything about flags.
Okay. Brian's locked in. Scott and Brian both locked in. Scott is locked in with Finland and Panama. Mm-hmm. Brian is locked in with the Czech Republic. I love that you guys, I think for each of these, nobody picked the same answers. Yeah. Like, you guys all picked individual answers.
Yeah.
The correct answers are Laos, the Czech Republic, and Panama. Finland is a white flag with a blue cross on it.
Damn stripe. I was thinking of something else. All right.
And, Panama indeed does have two. It's like a four-panel thing with two stars and two boxes, red, white, and blue. Czech Republic is a triangular left side with two stripes. And then Laos is a blue stripe in the middle with a white circle and red and red on the top and bottom.
I thought Laos was, but I wasn't 100, so I said, I'm going for the low points.
Well, it worked for you because you got 1 point. 1 point is all you need to win, so congratulations,
Brian.
You've been for winning the inaugural edition of Babel Royale Half-Asses and the morning Half-Asses. I'm still working on a name for this thing.
Here's the good news, though. Our runner-up, Heather, Nacho Mama, actually got the better game, in my opinion. So, yeah, so you're more of a I lost on purpose is going to be what I say.
Whatever.
That's right. So, Heather, you're going to be getting BPM, bullets per minute, on Steam, courtesy of Wesley. And Dan Erickson, you're going to be getting Turnip Boy Commits, Tax Evasion, and Simple Rockets, too. So you're not going
away. Those are better. There's two.
There's two games. Two is often better than one. But if I, Brian, let me ask you this, Brian Dunaway. If I sat you down and said, here's a $5 bill and here's two $1 bills, do you think it's better to take the two $1 bills or the one $5 bill?
Yeah, I mean, if you were to turn Turnip Boy into a dollar, but it's $5, so no. It's
right,
like getting
point.
A five and a one.
A five
so
and
I
a
still
one.
Win.
No, you're right. You're actually right. That game is awesome. Turnip Boy Commits Tax Evasion is a sleeper awesome hit from last year.
Really? Cool.
Love it.
Cool. Well done, everybody. I'd say you're both winners. I'm a loser. Brian's a winner. And then these two ladies are all, or I'm sorry, Dan is not a lady, but Dan and Heather, you're both winners. Misidentified winners. I like this. This is cool. And I like this setup.
It's cool. I like
it's
it.
It's nice.
Now that it makes sense, now that you know how to play, you guys will do a lot better next time.
Yeah. And we'll pick less, we won't pick red or green for our characters.
Right. Didn't even think about that. Yep.
Yeah. Which we
and then the anxiety of playing the game wrong will be gone, and then it'll just be the anxiety of getting the answer
right. The answers right. Yeah, yeah,
exactly. Well, I know what you don't have any anxiety about, and it's talking about run and gun shooters and where they all came from today on Play Retro with me at 3:30 Mountain Time, right? That's what you're excited or anxious
about?
That's
right. We're going to be talking about a Contra series. You may know TMS Mashup suggested this on Twitter, and a few others has suggested some run-and-gun games. And so we took a deep dive through the 80s at the arcade all the way through the 90s on the consoles. Mm-hmm. It's going to be good times.
Yeah, and I would argue... Well, maybe not BPM, but there's other games these days that I think owe their existence to that whole lineage. Personally, I'm a huge fan of Metal Slug. That whole series is amazing. Russian Attack is very good. Someone mentioned in the chat. What's that one?
Because it sounds like Russian.
Yeah, because it does, right? Yeah. So Run and Gun, where you're basically scrolling from left to right, sometimes top down, but you know.
The Commando we talked about is top down. The earlier ones were top down, and then they moved into the left right that we like so much.
Yeah, and I had a great time. I played a ton of this stuff this week, and so we're going to talk about that. It'll be great. Today, 3:30 Mountain Time, Play Retro wherever you get your podcasts. If you want to watch it live, you can be here. Check it then. Brian, have a great day.
No, you.
And eat a poo. Okay.
Okay.
He's gone.
He's Brian. Gone. Now we can talk about him.
Now we can say things
about
him.
And you guys did a great job of, again, talking long enough for me to send out our prize codes to
him. Oh, well done. Nicely done.
Yes.
Outside, out of mind,
we'll
as I say.
Tasker.
Let's get to at least one, maybe two news stories here. Let's see what we get. Time for the news here on The Morning Stream, and it's brought to you by...
From patron Ben Dazkew, who says, I'm co-founder of an event ticketing startup called ScoopTix. We help organizers, event organizers, and club promoters drive ticket sales with data-driven insights and marketing tools. Check it out today at ScoopTix, ScoopTix.com.
It's a great name, isn't it?
A great name.
Yeah, I like that a lot. Look at that, ScoopTix. Anyway, go check it out, you guys. Excuse me. All right, here's your first story. Since we're talking about Vegas. A suspect in the Las Vegas crash said ghost of NASCAR driver told him to drive the wrong way. Oh, this seems real.
Would you trust a dead NASCAR driver to give you directions?
No, because there's a reason he might be dead. A man
I prefer the live NASCAR drivers personally. I don't listen to the dead ones.
Those are your favorites. Those are the best ones. Those are better.
Believe me.
A man accused of intentionally driving the wrong way on 215 on the Beltway told a judge Tuesday that the ghost of an NASCAR driver told him to do it. Daniel Assef, age 51, aren't they always, faces charges of attempted murder.
What?
Murder.
Mordor.
It's, you got to get that ring, baby. DUI and battery with a deadly weapon after vehicle crashes reported in the area of Lake North Drive and Fort Apache Road near Sahara Avenue. In a court hearing Tuesday, Assef told the judge that the ghost of Dale Earnhardt specifically told him to drive the wrong way on the freeway in order to get the mayor's attention and bring NASCAR back to Las Vegas.
Oh, yeah. That would work. That would totally work.
Yeah, it seems like that would be all it would take is to do that.
Yes.
Judge Ann Zimmerman.
That's a great idea. I think I'll do that.
Yeah, I'm going to do that. Judge Ann Zimmerman noted that Assef reportedly had heroin and methamphetamine in his system at the time of the crash. You know, if you have enough of either of those, doesn't it equalize you out and you're just normal? Isn't that the deal?
That's right.
Because one's like,
the ghost of Dana Plato told me to took the meth and and heroin.
What's that called? An eight ball? No. What's an eight ball? It's a combo.
I don't know. We've talked about this.
It's where you combine your upper and your lower, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then if you're getting too much down, like if you're on too much heroin, then you cram some meth into you.
Just heroin, says Dice Tomato, is eight ball.
That's all that is?
Eight ball is heroin and coke.
Okay, same deal though. It's like speedball. That's what it's called, not eight ball.
Speedball.
So the heroin chills you out, the coke hypes you up, and if you do the right amount of both, I think you're just normal.
What's in a spitball?
I don't know. DNA.
David Morrison is DNA.
Yeah. Some DNA in there. You know, I thought of the perfect window. We had this discussion on FilmSack, and I thought of the perfect scenario after the show. I wish I would have thought of it at the time.
Right. Let's hear it.
So I'll ask you, even though this question was is really for Randy.
Dude, we need to a little recap for the chat room. Basically, we were talking about if you go on a window to draw in it, like draw a little smiley face or a middle finger or whatever.
Yeah.
Is your DNA on the window?
Yeah. Is any of you on the window, or did you just heat up air that was already there? Right. And I maintain, my whole point was it's gross, not so much as, you know, how much DNA or how much human whatever. Right. I just think it's disgusting. Yes. And everybody in the room was like, no, it's not. That's weird that you think it's gross. So here's what I should have said. And this is mostly aimed at Randy, because he was the one that seemed to have the biggest problem with it. So, Sam, you can pass this on. She's in the chat. So, if somebody, Brian will ask you, if somebody went on a window, and let's say, let me set the scenario up. The window's brand new, never been touched, never been near a human. It is pristine and spotless and sterile.
Right off the factory floor, sterile, okay.
Even washed after that so that it's even more, like the most sterile surface you've ever been presented with. And some guy over here you don't know walked up and goes, would you lick that condensation?
Yeah.
Would you? Because if it's just air heating up, it's already out there.
Right, that's a good argument. All right, would I? I probably would not, because it is his heat vapor that is heating the condensation on the window.
Right. See, this is where I was trying to come from, but I could not think of that scenario yesterday.
Dr. Jerry Tolbert, former America's Next Top Podcaster contestant, says that warm water vapor from your breathing is what condenses on the cold window. So it is your breath, warm water vapor that is
so it's condensing from, it's on the from cold you. Window. Then it's coming out of you.
It's coming out of you.
Okay.
There are probably some cells that will stick to the window, but likely not nearly enough to get a solid DNA sample. The particles that are being expelled from your mouth can't really carry large enough numbers of cells, although they definitely carry things like viral particles and some bacteria if the droplets are big enough.
Okay. Which, you know, hence the COVID and pandemic and all that.
Yeah,
so even outside of a pandemic, and even if it was somebody I really liked, if they did this on a window, I am not licking that.
I don't even think you would do it if Kim did that, right?
No, like I wouldn't. I wouldn't, and nor should she or anyone else I know. Nobody should be licking that off the window. I don't care who they are, what the deal is. Even if you just made out, even if you just tongue kissed somebody, I still don't want to lick their steam off the window. And I know we were just talking fingers. That's less egregious, obviously. But anyway, now I've got that out of my system. How about this story here? Massive brawl at Pennsylvania Golden Corral.
Oh, no, not the Golden Corral.
Yeah, it's involved 40 people, and it erupted over the fact that the place was out of steak. Steak strips or whatever the hell they do.
In that case, I say justified, but let's get to the meat of the story.
I go, the meat of the story.
And it totally wasn't even planned on saying that.
Are you kidding me? Because that was amazing. The meat of the story. All right. There were two.
Let's get to Jim on the scene with the meat of the story.
The meat of the story. The lack of steak at a Pennsylvania Golden Corral buffet may be what led dozens of people to duke it out in a viral video. Quote, there were two parties in line waiting for steak. Somebody cut in front of them and started being picky and finicky about the steaks taking too long. And then somebody else spoke up and said something I guess the other party didn't like. Then it just took, or it looks like it turned into an all-out brawl, says former employee Dylan Becker. I wonder why former employee Dylan Becker gets to
former,
talk about
was
it.
Was he former before the steak brawl?
Yeah. Yeah. At what point did he get fired or leave? It says more than 40 people were involved. They were throwing chairs and punches. Friday evening, the company that owns the restaurant reported the incident to authorities. Police are now investigating. Quote, I heard about the big fight and it's just sad. It's really, it's just really everybody is on a short fuse these days, says Miles Edward. That's the former employee. Don't fight over food at a Golden.
Just don't eat at a Golden Corral.
Don't go to a Golden Corral. Yeah. We have a place here called
Better Steaks. There's better everything.
We got a
there's
place
nothing
called
the Golden Corral excels at that you can't get better somewhere.
You're not wrong, except maybe the repeat visit to the line. You know, that's the only thing, I suppose. But the food there.
What do you mean the repeat? Like, you mean just the fact that it's a buffet?
Yeah, this is just a buffet. You know,
what's the other one? The is it just called Golden Buffet? What's the other? What's the other buffet restaurant that is?
So we have. So here we have. Popular. We have the Chuck-O-Rama, and we have
also bad name.
Yeah,
like, you don't want to eat at a corral, first of all.
Nope.
It's not corral. Associated with fine dining. A corral.
Yeah. I can't think
country
what...
buffet. That's it. Country buffet.
Old country buffet. Okay.
I think it's just. I thought it was just country buffet.
All of the small mom and pop buffets are gone here. We don't have those anymore. Yeah. We used to have a place called Sweet Tomatoes. I think that was more national.
Oh,
regional.
Sweet Tomatoes is great. Yeah.
Yeah. They're out of here. Ponderosa Bonanza. We used to have that. Diced Tomato. Golden Corral is one we have here. I got a. The one near us is closed also. Royal Fork. Was that a thing?
Royal Fork. Yeah, we used to have a Royal Fork here, and it was actually. It's actually pretty good.
All of the we do have Fuddrucker still. All of the
oh my god!
What's the one?
You might need to check out the video of this brawl. People are like,
oh, I saw it. It's bad. It's real.
Holy cow! They're picking up high chairs and whacking other people with high chairs. This is like,
yeah, it's bad. I don't know what's going on in Philadelphia.
Mayhem.
It's like the Eagles won the Super Bowl or something,
and nobody's wearing a mask.
Nope, not a soul. Feels like Golden Corral is not really your place to... Wait, this isn't it.
Jeez.
Oh, I can't, freaking Fox News links. I'm not even getting the right video. Hold on. What video even is this? Some political BS. All right.
Yeah, I know. You've got to go to the Facebook link. You can't even watch it on the page or else Fox News says, oh, hey, can we send you more stuff?
Yeah, can we do more for you? No. The answer is no. Final story of the day.
God, what friggin' mayhem. Oh, my God. And people are hucking tables at each other now.
Yeah, it's bad. Jeez. It goes real bad.
This is over. Oh, and lights are shattering all over the place.
Yeah,
oh.
It's for bad steak, Brian. Yeah, I think
right under a sign that says, gather around.
I think there's something to the short fuse. I think people are, you know, it's like the whole 33% less driving happens, but 7% increase in wrecks, like... People are just, I don't know, you're all acting like dumbasses.
It's turning into the Wild West again, and everybody's just a trigger waiting to be pulled. I've said it a bunch of times, but it's true.
Rudy Tooty is what we're doing. All right. Selfish entitlement, yes, but there's still a short fuse on the selfish entitlement.
There's still
entitlement.
A short fuse along with the selfish entitlement. You're both right.
Yeah, it's a combo, man. Nobody ordered that combo, but here it is anyways.
Oh, somebody, Cleo, come on, make a title around They Had Beef.
Yeah, They Had Beef. That's good. Well, make that a title, Cleo. What are you doing here?
Somebody needs to.
Yeah. Beef. All right, that's it. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll spend a little bit of time with our old pal, Major Spoiler Zone, Steven Schleicher. So stick around for that, but we need to play a song first, so play that song.
Well, okay. How about a song that brand new single called Pick Me? This is by Neska Rose. She is a singer-songwriter, a young singer-songwriter who is getting into music as well as getting into acting. She was on the Nickelodeon High School Mockumentary Drama Club. She had an EP last year called The Repel of a Young Girl. And this is her brand new single. I don't know if it's coming out in advance of an album. It looks like it's just a single for right now. Here is Pick Me by Neska Rose.
I just can't help it. I'm a one-woman show. I like it though, but I can't stand it when I'm out there alone. I just don't wanna be someone I'm not. Grown adult, I love the center. And I never stood in a row. So I'm letting you decide whatever you want from me. Won't be responsible, why? Cause there's no destiny. I'm just trying to get inside the middle, but also be in the world leaders growing. I'm just trying to be alive. To
be alive. So pick me, what you want me to say? Not coming until I get my way. Do you know me? And what I present, I'm above everyone and everyone else. Pick me, what you want me to say? Not coming until I get my way. Last another chance from you. I must be facing an every fact that you don't want me in your circle. You don't want me in your back. There's no need to be cool, or I'll get in a feud. Why am I still this kind of way?
Көз кез көз, күш кеш көш, кір кер көр, күл кел көл, кілен қысқа сөз кім оқиды тез. Арқада алтарқар бар, қырқада қырғарқар бар, қырғарқарда ағарқар бар, алтарқарда марқарқар бар. Әбдіреде әбігер әтеш отыр, әбігер әтеш отырған әбдірені.
What kind of weird ass father son shit is going on around here, bro?
The morning stream. Give me the money, Brian.
And we've arrived back. Could you tell me that song again?
I can. That's the brand new single, Pick Me, from singer Neska Rose. That's N-E-S-K-A Rose.
Sounds like a drink, doesn't it? Neska Rose.
I'll have a Neska Rose, please.
Yeah.
Sounds nice. We don't have any of that. You'll have to have a Nescafe.
Yeah. Oh, yes. That's why it reminded me of a drink, I think.
I think so. Yeah, probably.
I think that was it. Now that you say it, I think that was it. All right. Hey, whoa, look at this. Major spoilers coming in hot with some hot talk about talking.
Yeah. Yeah.
It'll be great. Very much excited about it. Here's his intro right here.
Steven Schleicher.
Yeah, that's right. Steven Schleicher from MajorSpoilers.com has joined us. Hello, Steven.
Hello, oh, no. Scott. Hello, Brian.
Oh, you got the slow motion.
So robot, you're a little robot.
Okay, hold on.
No worries.
Let me reboot.
Okay.
It also is like super slow, like.
Used to get this with, Bo used to have this problem, and it was some kind of bitrate setting on Windows.
Oh, sure.
And if you change that. Oh, hi. Hello.
Ooh, you already sound better.
Hello, Scott. Hello, Brian.
Hi. It's nice to have you
much
back.
Much better. Welcome back, Steven.
You sound so much better.
Place
now.
That right in there. Nobody will know.
Yeah. No one
right.
will ever know.
Nobody will ever
yeah.
have
I'm sure I'll have. I'm sure I'll go fix this in post. 100% sure I will. Steven's here, and it's always good to have Steven here because we get to talk about cool stuff that we all share in common. Lots of comic book news and pop culture stuff and all that sort of thing. In particular. So my son is a massive Boondocks fan. When that was originally on, and I don't know if that was, I think it was Adult Swim, was it? Okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. He loved Boondocks. For whatever reason, Boondocks spoke to him and he loved it. And he with me were both very excited about a Boondocks revival that had been announced as happening over on HBO Max. It got scrapped. What happened? Why?
Well, we don't know why, but Tom Dubois, voice actor who plays Tom Dubois, mm-hmm. Said that it's no longer happening at HBO Max. There's a number of different reasons this can happen. Some studios, this was being done through Sony Pictures Animation and through HBO Max. Oftentimes, studios will announce a project, hire a writer's room, have the writer's room write all the scripts, get up to the point where it's time to record stuff and actually go into production. And then the studio go, we don't think so. Why don't you stop? And then, you know, a week or two will pass and they'll say, oh, yeah, how about you guys go back and redo this again? Hire a whole new writer's room. They'll go back and rewrite stuff all over again. And when it gets up to the production stage, that's when the studio decides to pull the plug. So I think a lot of times when you see, especially television show announcements, until they've actually gone into production on something, sometimes those things can be drug out for years and then still never happen.
Yeah.
But people who are writing it get paid lots of money.
Wasn't this based on the comic? It was a comic strip originally, right?
Yeah, I think it was a newspaper strip.
That's right. There it is. Boondocks, daily syndicated comic strip written originally by Aaron Magruder, ran from 96 to 2006. Mm-hmm. And the show, the comic was interesting and good. But I remember at the time when the show hit, the show was like, look, syndicated newspaper comics have like wicked lording over of editors who tell you what you can and can't do. And the show was like, we can kind of say and do what we want to do here. So the show was like this more raw sort of like, this is what I really want to say with these characters and what I want to say with this world. Whereas mm-hmm. the comic was, you know, limited by newspaper rules and syndication and all of that. And it just had, I don't know, it had a hell of a following at the time. I'm just bummed to hear this. I would love to see him redo it. Or, you know,
doesn't mean it won't come back around, but my guess is we'll hear another writer's room group reformed within the next 6 months to try to take it somewhere else. Mm-hmm. And then they'll probably get up to production again and somebody will say, oh, this is too hot of a topic. Because, as you said, Boondocks really did start to get into a lot of discussions on race. And that right now is probably something that some people get a little upset about because it hurts their feelings.
Oh, that's too bad. Aaron Magruder, a really interesting guy. If you ever read like an interview with that dude, he's super interesting, and he still looks 15, and it kind of pisses me off. So there's that. Hey, Peggy Carter comic book series at Marvel. This must make everyone happy, Brian included.
Certainly one of the really cool episodes of What If. It was like, what if Peggy Carter had been injected with the super soldier serum instead of Steve Rogers? Mm-hmm. And so we get introduced to Captain Peggy, or Captain Carter, who goes out and essentially is the UK version of Captain America. And it's really cool. It was a really cool half hour episode. And now they're turning it into a comic book series. Jamie McKelvey is going to be writing it. Artist Marika Cresta will be doing the art in this. And I believe it drops on March 30th, which if you're ever going to sites like MajorSpoilers.com, and quite honestly, why wouldn't you go to a site like MajorSpoilers.com?
Yeah, why wouldn't you? Yeah.
And you're noticing that it's the beginning of 1 month, yet publishers are really pushing a comic that comes out the next month. It's because that Monday, typically like today, is the final order cutoff day for a lot of comics. And so they're trying to get people to step up and order their comics from their comic book shop.
Oh, okay.
Clever. Oh. Interesting.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. Yeah, nice business thing there. But
sneaky.
The art looks great. Looking at this preview. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. It looks really neat. And it looks like maybe the first issue might be doing a retelling of the What If episode, where how does she become Captain Carter?
Okay. And in that scenario, I watched that, and Steve Rogers is still a wimpy little skinny boy who now helps her with stuff.
Like in the Hulkbuster kind of man.
Hulkbuster suit.
Yeah. Oh, right. Yeah, I forgot about that bit at the end. But do you think there's any chance the comic would try to rewrite that and say, well, now there's Captain America and there's Cat.
This is still alternative timeline.
Yeah, this is an alternate universe. Yeah.
Okay. Well, I'm excited. I think that looks great.
This was probably the most popular of those things that came out of the What If series. Maybe Black Panther's Star-Lord as well. But I mean, they're making action figures. Yep. They're working her into some games. It's great. It's great to see this become so popular.
Hot Toys, the creators of those 1/6 scale, highly detailed figures. Yeah. They were out of the gate with a Captain Carter and a Steve Rogers a Hydra Buster. Uniform or Hydra Smasher uniform. Those are out. And then the second one that they've released, and I haven't really seen any of the others, is a Spider-Man with Doctor Strange's cloak.
Oh, yeah, right.
From the zombie episode. So
Right.
Right,
those are the only two. So those, I think, were the most popular characters.
And the Marvel Legends, I think, is coming out with a full series. So you get the dark Doctor Strange and all that stuff as well.
Yeah, we'll see more of him in a couple of months.
Yes,
yeah,
we will.
The broody Doctor Strange.
It was going to be just a month, and now it's a few months.
What happened there? I don't remember. Was it another COVID deal or what?
Maybe a little bit of COVID, maybe from, again, rumors from what I heard was that it didn't test well initially. They may have had to go back and shoot some stuff.
Oh, okay.
Gotcha.
It's a Sam Raimi joint, right? He directed?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's just kind of funny that your back-to-back Benedict Cumberbatch as Doctor Strange roles is Spider-Man, I Can't Find My Way Home, or whatever the hell it was called.
Yeah.
And then this, exactly. And they're back-to-back, and then you've got a director who directed the original early Tobey Maguire Spider-Man. I just think that's just a weird juxtaposition, but there it is. I hope he did a good job.
Stick around long enough, you're going to be able to direct everything in the Marvel Universe.
That's true.
That's not how it
is. That's the old phrase?
No, you stick around long enough, you become the villain, right?
You become the villain.
That's the phrase.
Yeah, that's something like that. All right. Well done there. Let's talk about why Stephen Wacker quit Marvel Comics. And tell us, for those who don't know who he is, who is Stephen Wacker?
So Stephen Wacker, has been one of the EICs at Marvel, or one of the editors at Marvel for the last 15 years. Before that, he's done work for Disney. He's done work for DC, for the Justice League, the JSA, Legion of Superheroes, Jonah Hex, all of those characters. He's been at Marvel for the last 15 years. And then he announced on Friday, hey, guess what, everybody? This is my last day at Marvel. I'm going off to be the EIC of Jonathan Hickman, Mike Huddleston's, and Mike Del Mundo's Substack publishing company.
Oh, geez, really?
Yeah, which is really weird because I know a lot of people have been talking about Substack. Substack is trying to be the equivalent of MailChimp, trying to jump that out there. It's essentially just newsletters, but you can subscribe to newsletters for, in some cases, one that I saw the other day wanted $250 for an entire year's worth of newsletters from this company. And what a lot of comic book publishers are doing is that they are offering comics through this Substack. So like every day or every couple of days, you'll get a new page of this comic. Mm-hmm. Kind of a weird kind of take on a web comic almost, right? Remember back when it used to be 3 days a week, you come and you get the next page of this thing.
Yeah.
And so, but everybody's been moving to Substack. One of the reasons why people moved to Substack is because Substack had a bunch of money up front and they went out and paid a bunch of people in the creative community to quit their regular jobs, move over to Substack and pay them essentially for a year. And now that year has essentially come up, now everybody is trying to figure out, okay, how do I really monetize this thing?
Yeah.
And one of them is, let's do original comic book series through Substack. Let's hire Stephen Wacker as our editor who will manage all of this stuff. And then eventually these comics will find print usually through a Dark Horse or through some other publisher.
Sure. I know Scott Snyder does some sort of
he does One Jacket Press or Our Best Jacket or something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, so he's got comic stuff he releases, but he also does like, here's a writing course on how to get a character like Batman fresh or whatever. I don't know.
I follow. That's one that I subscribe to. And the people who do, oh gosh, now I forgot his name, who does the conspiracy theory comic over at Image Comics. I also follow him as well.
Mm-hmm.
And some of them are really interesting. Some of them are worth it, like the Scott Snyder thing. If you're doing the I Want to Learn How to Write Comics kind of stuff, that's like $75 a year or something like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
but
that's pretty cool.
I would imagine that this one is going to be a little bit more expensive because now you have four people's salaries that you have to pay for on these comic books.
Yeah, and they're big names. You know?
Yeah, they are. Yeah.
The other thing is,
what do you think of Substacks? Do you have a Substack?
I do, and I use it as not as often as I'd like to, but whenever I do a new Fred and Can, I use it to let everybody know. If I do something big on the network or a big launch or something, I'll make a big stink about it on there. I really should use it more just for, I don't know, just talk about how I'm, you know, what's going on and more behind the scenes stuff. Maybe that'd be things people interested in. But I had somebody very early say, you should be using this as a way to monetize that comic. Like, don't release the comic, give it to people and they'll pay for it. Mm-hmm. And I just couldn't bring myself to do it. I felt weird.
You can still do it if you want. Just turn that Substack into a paid Substack.
No, I know. But it's just, I don't know. It felt, something about it felt weird. It felt off to me.
We are in a, you know, you and I are very similar. It's very hard for us to self-promote because we feel like we're being braggarty or yeah. It's not the right word, but you know,
no, braggadocious. Yeah, sure. Yeah.
Braggadocious. Thank you. Yeah. Oh, I should use that because that's such a fun word to say. Braggadocious.
I hate that word, but not because it's not appropriate, but because it sounds like something a 90-year-old man would say.
Being very braggadocious, aren't you?
I yes. signed up to create to be a Substack creator, you know, just newsletters because I was looking for an alternative to MailChimp, which, you know, for the number of subscribers that I or the number of subscribers to our newsletter that I have, the price is basically worth it. But one of the things is if you just create that Substack account, they start saying, hey, here's someone that you follow on Twitter. They also have a Substack.
Yeah.
Come sign up today. So you can get some fairly easy promotion. Yeah. And I've released nothing through Substack and already I've got like 10 subscribers. So,
yeah, it's probably, I don't know. I have to think more about it. I'm terrible at this stuff.
I need to hire a social media maven to be
You and I should talk some more offline, Brian, because I've got somebody who
is
doing that and who I am currently doing stuff with.
Oh.
Ooh, okay.
Very nice. Sounds like that's going good. Is it going good?
We are at the end of our first really 2 weeks of that, and I've gotten some good information to move forward on. So.
Nice, nice. Well, let's see how this goes for them. Sounds like an interesting deal for Stephen Wacker. It's also a great name. Anybody with the name Wacker is a friend of mine. There's plenty more over at majorspoilers.com. And if you don't believe me, just put that in your web device. Go look, because it'll be true when you get there. Hey, Stephen, I get to be
Steve
on.
Your Steve Howard web device is ready to go.
I get to be on this week,
that
Tuesday.
That is right.
Yeah, I'm excited. Tell me more.
This week on the Major Spoilers podcast, you're going to want to check it out, because Scott Johnson is back once again, as well as Jason Inman, who has a brand new Kickstarter that he launched last week. It's already met its goal, but Scott and Jason are going to come on and we're going to talk about some tips, some tricks, some controversies, lessons learned, things to avoid, all that stuff when you decide to launch your own Kickstarter campaign. Yeah. Because both Scott and Jason have done a couple of those, and I'm sure they have some insights, especially when it comes to this announcement that Kickstarter is going crypto. So we'll be talking about that this week on the Major Spoilers podcast.
Hate it, but can't wait. I mean, not the show, the crypto part. But we'll get to all that and talk more about it Tuesday. And of course, all week, there's plenty of content coming out of you guys. Check it out, majorspoilers.com. Steven, have a great week. See you next time.
Stay hydrated.
Oh, yeah. That's
there
right.
He is. There it is.
Waiting for it.
Good deal.
Good deal.
Good deal indeed. All right. Now, I'd like to issue a warning. All right. Jamie put together a mashup of me playing Donkey Kong Country. That game pissed me off.
I watched this video and I was shouting expletives with you every time a freaking bucket would launch you into a bee.
Yeah, into a bee.
Into a bee.
And then there is the whole minecart level, which was bad. Yeah. So he went ahead in his maximum wisdom and put this together. I'm telling you, if you got kids listening, maybe now's not the time, because I swear a lot in this. You're not going to hear any F-bombs or anything too untoward, but you're going to hear me swear. So I guess enjoy. Enjoy. Oh, we're right back where I started from. This freaking sucks, and I have a bum. I'm really mad. Freaking Diddy Kong can take a giant dump. Shit. I hate Diddy Kong. Donkey Kong in front. That's the rule. Diddy Kong, little garbage monkey. Oh, shit. You piece of shit. Oh, shit. Exit. Get me out of this colon hole. Oh, you piece of garbage, little Diddy Shitty Kong. Eat a penis! A penis! Have a meal that is constitutes a penis, you butthole. Dick potato! Oh, Son of a dirty, dirty bitch. Take that, dick.
You piece of shit!
Gosh dang it. Shithole? Shithole? Oh, what in the shit? Our minecart level. Oh, no. If I get 3 swordfish, I get to see Halle Berry's boobs, right?
Son of a bitch! You piece of shit!
Let's not fail me now. No failing me now.
Oh my gosh!
I don't just scream when I'm scared. I scream when I'm dumb. I'm gonna crap myself. I'm so pissed. I apologize for any kids who are listening and I start swearing. Shit!
Shit!
Gosh, why is that so freaking hard? Shit pricks! I'm gonna explode. I'm so mad at this effing game! You know what the problem is? Diddy Kong's with me. He sucks. Damn it to hell! I promise I'm not this bad. I swear.
Shit! Holy shit stains!
Okay, we almost, guys. Shit monkeys.
Oh my lord!
We're doing this. I was so close last time. I'm gonna shit my pants.
Son of a bitch!
I'm gonna poop!
Oh, what? What? You piece of shit! You piece of shit! Son of a bitch!
I'm gonna break something.
Oh, son of a bitch!
Did I make it?
No! No! Shit! Oh,
son of a bitch!
You dick! Oh my gosh!
Oh, 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 hello.
These guys are dicks. Ooh, a cave.
Oh my gosh! Shit! Shit! Shit!
Shit. Shit makes. That's some horse shit. That's some horse shit. Shit on me. Shit on me. For real, shit on me. Just shit on me. Seriously, these things are dicks.
Shit! Oh, la la la, la 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 la!
What else am I supposed to... Oh, oh, did he? Did he do?
Oh!
Eat a wiener and die.
Oh, are you kidding? Are you kidding? You piece of shit!
I feel like this is the one.
Oh, praise Jeebus!
That deserves one of these.
Oh, Jesus.
All right.
Ah, my God.
Now I know what the S stands for in SNES. Okay.
Yeah, it's shit Nintendo Entertainment
Nintendo
System.
Nintendo 64, but...
Yeah. No, that was a SNES. That's still a SNES. DK.
Was it really? I thought it was
Donkey
thought
Kong
it was,
Country?
No. 64.
No, Donkey Kong Country is SNES, and then you had Donkey Kong 64 on the 64. Remember when they, for a long time, Nintendo on the 64, they were like, hey, what if we just put 64 on everything? You know? And it was lame.
Yeah.
I always hated that.
I don't know why I thought Donkey Kong Country originally came out in 64. That's what we had it on. We had it on the 64.
It was very close to release of the 64 as well, so it was like kind of late stage SNES era. Mm-hmm. But in fact, the third one, Donkey Kong Country 3.
But they did come out with a port on...
On 64? I don't know. Did they? I played it I know the GameCube had a port. There's a port on the little mini SNES mini over there, but I don't know. I don't know if it ever came on the 64. Maybe it did. Was there?
I'm looking. I gotta look this up because I remember pulling it out of the game and playing some GoldenEye 64, and then
you sure it wasn't just Donkey Kong 64, like the 3D deal where you're running around doing shit?
I could have sworn it was Donkey Kong Country, so it must have been Donkey Kong Country 2.
Let's see, Donkey Kong 64. Yeah, it was.
There was a Donkey Kong Country 64. There was, okay.
Oh, there was.
Yeah, there was. All right, I'm not crazy. We had that.
I didn't know that. That's kind of cool. Didn't know that was a thing. Wait, where is there?
Yes.
I only see a Donkey Kong 64. That's all I see.
I'm sorry. It is called Donkey Kong 64. What am I saying?
But that's like 3D, like Mario 64.
Yeah, no, it wasn't exactly. It wasn't like that. So it must be Donkey Kong Country 64. I could have sworn we had Diddy's Kong Quest.
Oh, it could be that. No, wait. Diddy Kong Quest was... That was also on the SNES. That's what I played with the... It has the girl hanging out with
it. It was originally done on the SNES, but then it did... I'm looking at a box for the... Well, no, I take that back. SNES. What the heck? How am I totally having a Mandela effect? I could have sworn these were both on the 64, and they like punched up when we put in that extra little block of memory or whatever it was in our 64.
Oh, the what was that called? Yeah, pack.
The power pack was it? Power pack.
Power pack. Yeah, and it worked with the dinosaur shooting game. I don't remember. Man, that's been a long time now.
Wow.
Anyway. Yeah.
It's called a stroke, says Whistle 34.
It's called a stroke? Is that what we're having?
It's not a stroke. It's just, we had every console. We had them set up in the same place. I just could have sworn that it was in the same time.
Well, they're all very good.
We had Banjo-Kazooie, right? And that was 64.
That was definitely 64, yeah. And that played out 3D like Donkey Kong 64.
Kevin Kipper said Donkey Kong 64 came with a pack. So I'm conflating Donkey Kong Country and Donkey Kong to the 64.
Yeah. DK 64 was just 64. Kind of like Ocarina of Time was not called Zelda 64, but a lot of us called it that.
Mm-hmm.
Mario 64. Expansion I hated when they just put 64 on shit because it was all it did was say, hey, 64 bits of data path. Check it out. All our names are going to have 64 on it. And then I'm like, well, you know you're going to get past that. You're going to get to, like, freaking 128. Right. What are you doing?
And then
doing?
What are you going to do when the next console comes out? Are you just going to follow that name? Are you going to say, oh, Donkey Kong Country 64 2?
Yeah. Are you going to say Donkey Kong 128? That's lame.
Right.
Lame.
Yep.
All right. Well, they were weird times, and we lived through it. Moving on.
And this is, and once again, we prove why you do the video game podcasts, and I don't.
Well, you know, memory is what it is. I'm sure I get plenty of things wrong. Sure. Dodd Vickers wrote in, our old pal Dodd.
We love Dodd.
Yep, down there in Atlanta area. Dude does a lot of stuff with the film industry and
He is a location scout, an award-nominated location scout, maybe even award-winning location scout.
Yeah, he's awesome. He also married way up. Yeah. He married a supermodel, basically, and makes us all look bad. Anyway, no offense to our wives. He wrote in and says, hey, I was listening to the show yesterday while driving from the production office and a film location. I can speak from experience and assure you that the streaming services do, in fact, finance their own projects.
Take that! Who was it? Dice Tomato? Whoever it was.
Oh, Dice Tomato was the one who's arguing about that. Yeah.
Right. He says, yes, they also buy the distribution rights to independent films and distribute them in as unique to their service. More specifically, I just completed work on a Netflix studio feature that I started working on in March of 2021, and it was simply a Netflix production. Hope that is helpful. Love the show. And then he gave a link to the thing. Once again, Scott, proven triumphant. I fully understand how things work. So there you go.
Scott's favorite status, proven triumphant.
Proven triumphant, my permanent status, achievement unlocked. Hey, we got an update on Vegas. Here's the deal.
Yeah.
It's still the same dates. Do you have the dates? What's the dates?
I do. 4/20. So really, the events will be held on 4/26 and 4/27, April 26th and April 27th. However, you'll want to travel the day before and travel the day after, right? So you can be there for the full days because there'll be fun stuff. So really, April 25th to 28th. Just book your travel for Monday. Yeah. Or earlier, if you want to go to Vegas and see some other things besides our faces.
Our ugly faces. If you're coming from really far away, too, maybe you want to spend some more time, but I'll be driving down on a Monday, driving back on a Thursday. The in-betweens is where we're going to be doing our hanging out. Here's a couple of things that are going to happen between now and then. I'll be letting you guys know when, but we'll have basically a swag pack that you'll grab. We're going to keep them cheap price wise, but cool, you know, cool stuff inside. We always do that.
Yeah. Keep in mind, this is not just us getting reimbursed for the swag. This also pays for all the event stuff. Like, we have to pay, you know, you're buying your hotel room, obviously, but we have to pay for ballroom time and other deposits and things like that. So it's just a matter of getting those things.
We just need enough to cover it. And so that's all we're going to do there. And it'll also kind of act as your way in. So if you're coming, you get one of these and they'll be given to you while you're there. And it'll include some cool stuff, which I, again, will announce soon. We want everyone coming to be vaxxed. Them's just the breaks, all right? So be vaccinated. I suppose you don't have to be boosted if you can't get it wherever you live or whatever. But, you know, do your best. Be careful. We're trying to have this fun thing without incident. And, and just so much out of our control already. We want to, have as much as much control on this as we can. So be vaxxed before you come. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. We mentioned the dates. What else can we tell them? There's some secret stuff we can't say yet.
Yeah, there's some stuff. I'm working on some cool event details. It's safe to say we will have a ballroom for 4 hours for board games. So I'm bringing Marvel United and a bunch of my painted minis so we can play that game. And I'll be like sitting there like a hawk hovering over people as they touch and pick up those minis and move them. Like, no, you're being a little too aggressive with Daredevil. Calm down.
Yeah, his red paint is on your thumb. Quit squeezing it so
hard. I'll be like Nigel Tufnel saying, no, don't even breathe on it. Don't even look at it. Move on.
That's awesome. I will be bringing copies of Rock Runners. I can't wait to play that with actual Tadpoolers. This makes me so excited to play Rock Runners with friends. So anyway, all that kind of stuff will happen that day.
We will have a meetup the night, Monday. Night, so get in early enough that you can join us for like a little get together reception, informal kind of thing, and then we'll have stuff planned for both Tuesday night and Wednesday night, and it's cool stuff. We might have Jury there and Schwood.
Yeah, they're going to at least try to poke
Tom's
in.
A maybe.
Yeah, Jury and Schwood are a poke in because they're coming for a thing later that weekend.
Right.
So what they'll do is probably not a whole lot of them. We may see them on Wednesday. I don't know yet. Yep. We haven't we haven't confirmed any of that, but yeah, Tom's a maybe, but yeah, some of your favorite folks will hopefully be there.
Exactly. And it'll be a no handshake, no hug environment unless, you know, unless you get consent from both parties.
Yeah, everybody, so. If you want to hug, you got to both be into it. If you want, you know, vax your ass and wear your mask is our rule. So
that's right. And we are following all the protocols that Vegas has, as well as the hotel, since they can go above what Vegas's protocols are. A hotel can always do more and say, you know, yep, masks in all of these spaces unless you're actively drinking or eating or whatever.
Yeah. So. And if you want, you can be one of those 3 a.m. pulling on the side of a freaking slot machine, look like you got blue hair, but wear your mask. It's fine.
Yeah, exactly.
Anyway, more on that as we get closer to it. We're excited about it.
And I've still got the tmsvegas.com domain and site, so I don't know if there's anything currently there.
It's probably just old stuff, right?
I don't even know if it's old stuff because I moved my hosting. So.
Oh. Are you not using Bluehost anymore?
I am not. Oh. I have a whole new thing that I use.
Nice.
I manage my own servers now, Scott, is what I do.
Oh, very nice. I'm all I'm using all AWS, but I am I'm terrible at managing it because I don't really know what I'm doing.
I'm too, and yeah, my service makes it pretty easy, and actually does use AWS as a service.
Yeah, so if you got a you good and front I should end, talk. We should probably talk. My front end's my front end is me. I'm using it as if I'm the front end, and that's fine for some developer, smart guy, server guy, for you know whatever. I'm just like, what's the command line? Where do I put the thing? How do I do this?
Right.
Anyway, it's fun stuff.
Totally. Anyway, so details will be forthcoming Facebook, Discord, and officially on the TMS Vegas website when I get that thing rebooted.
Nice. Quick reminder, tonight, play retro, 3:30 Mountain Time. Please come join us. Lots of visuals with today's show, although the podcast is just as good. So go check that out. How's Soundography doing? We getting a new one today?
We do. There's a new one that just got posted this morning. Surf Time. Yeah, surf rock. All of your favorites like, the Chantels and the Miserloo, the Dick Dales and all those bands. Telstar by the Tornadoes. We talk about the 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, all the way up to current surf rock. There are still bands that are cranking out some amazing surf rock. And we're going to let you know about all that stuff at soundography.com. That show is up, so you can go listen to it right now if you want.
Very nice. I'm going to, I think my pushed lunch with Hammond is now tomorrow. I think we're doing that tomorrow. That'll be cool. Fun.
Yeah. Push lunch.
Yeah, we're going to Push or Sapphire. It's called the restaurant Push by Sapphire.
It's formally called it's based on the restaurant Push by Sapphire.
It's so dumb. Anyway, so there you go. A couple of quick things. I want to thank some patrons at patreon.com/TMS. Michael Roche, Tristan Adams, Jack Turek. You three are awesome. Thank you for joining up at the levels you're at, and I hope you like getting the benefits you get. I know you do because you've been there a long time. And if you want to be like them, sign up today, patreon.com/TMS. The website is frogpants.com/TMS, and that will do it for today. Hey, we can't leave without a song because that's the deal. So, Brian, why don't you play one, damn it?
I will play one. This one comes to us from Alex, who goes by Crash Kincaid on the rare instance he can listen live. He says, the last time I requested a song was for my 42nd birthday. This time, I'm requesting a song for my 50th. Holy cow, we've been with you for 8 years, Crash. Jeez. Love it. Wow. In that time, I've bounced through 3 jobs, moved twice, survived, probably, a pandemic, and gained 2 nephews, but I'll probably be playing Minecraft when I listen to this episode, just like I was doing 8 years ago. Wow. I know Scott hates this song, but how can you hate something sung by a band called Ninja Sex Party? Well, we're about to find out.
Okay.
These are the great Ninja Sex Party guys. We love them. Frequent requesters on here, and a cover they included on their volume 3 of Under the Covers back in 2019. Here's their cover of Starships, We Built This City.
Oh, Lord. All right. Now I know. Hey, here's this for you, birthday boy.
Happy birthday to you.
And a happy new year.
Yeah, we wish that for you and anyone else who shares his birthday. All right. Here we go. We're out of here. Thank you guys for watching. Enjoy this song. I'm sure this cover's good, but man, that song sucks. But enjoy it anyway. We'll see you tomorrow for a whole new TMS. Come back then.
We built this city. We built this city on rock and roll. Built this city. We built this city on rock and roll.
Part of the Frog Pants Network.
Frog Pants Network.
Get more shows like this at frogpants.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter.
Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.